The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, verses 25 to 32. Ezekiel 18, 25 to 32. Let us hear the word of God. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear, O house of Israel, is my way unjust? Is it not your ways that are unjust? If a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits sin, he will die for it. But if a wicked man turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he will save his life. Because he considers all the offenses he has committed and turns away from them, he will surely live. He will not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not just. Are my ways unjust, O house of Israel? Is it not your ways that are unjust? Therefore, O house of Israel, I will judge you, each one, according to his ways, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent, turn away from all your offenses. Then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourselves of all the offenses you've committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live. The end of the Old Testament reading. Thanks be to God. Amen.
The second lesson is taken from the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 2, reading from verse 1 to 13. Philippians chapter 2, 1 to 13. Imitating Christ's humility. Shall we hear the word of God? If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to the good to his good purpose. Beloved, this is the end of the lesson. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We shall chant Psalm 25, verse 1 to 8. Psalm 25, verse 1 to 8. This can be found on page 212 of the Anglican hymn books.
Lord with you. Hear the gospel of Christ as it is written in Matthew chapter 21, reading at the 23rd verse. St. Matthew's gospel chapter 21, verses 23 to 32. Matthew 21, 23 to 32. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "And who gave you this authority?" He replied, "I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or from men?" they discussed it among themselves and said, if he say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. Then he said, neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. The tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw these, you did not repent and believe him. Beloved, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me take this opportunity to congratulate the Vision 50 Plus group who are giving thanks to God today after a week-long celebration. We say congratulations. Today, by the grace of God, our vibrant youth will also lead in the fundraising to support the RRC Hall. It is our prayer that we will wholeheartedly support a worthy cause to the glory of God. Amen. I preach in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Right words. Right words never exceed right deeds. It is always best when words and deeds match one another. Right words never exceed right deeds. It is always best when words and deeds match one another. Beloved, in the gospel for today, precisely Matthew's gospel, the parable of the two sons. Jesus is urging us to repent our empty words and to fill them with obedience. In the gospel reading, Jesus asked the Pharisees and Sadducees a question parabolically. He tells the parable of two sons. The father tells the first son to go work in the vineyard, and the first son says no. Later, however, he regrets this and goes into the vineyard. The father tells the second son to go work in the vineyard, and the second son says yes, but he never goes into the vineyard. Which one, Jesus asks, did the will of his father? The answer is obvious, the first son. Even though he initially said no, he later regretted his refusal and entered the vineyard. But the second son, though his words were yes, his actions were no. Jesus then inquired who did the father's will, not who said he was going to do it. So the Pharisees give the only answer that is possible. They admit that the first son was the one who did the father's will. Jesus then continues with the parable. Tax collectors and prostitutes will go into the kingdom of heaven before you Pharisees and Sadducees. Why? Well, they are like the first son. That's the prostitutes and the tax collectors. They are the first son. Their words and deeds say no to God's will. But when John the Baptist comes preaching, they repent. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, on the other hand, they are always insisting that they were serving God. But when God's prophet John the Baptist comes preaching, they refuse his message. And to make matters worse, when they see those whom they think are worse of sinners repenting, they still won't repent. Beloved Lord, I trust that we who are gathered here this morning, we are not like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. If you have ever run into an occasion where you suppose God were calling you, God were calling you, and didn't go, think again. We read of prophets and people of God who disappointed God, but they repented. Isaiah, when called by the Lord, was overwhelmed with a sense of his own uncleanness. Moses, when called, gave an excuse. I'm not eloquent. Beloved Lord, it's as if God looks out over all those whom he might call. And guess whom he calls? The most of the worst ones, he calls to himself, to glorify himself. The Christian way of life is in performance and not promises and excuses. And that the mark of a Christian is obedience. Obedience which is graciously and courteously given. Beloved Lord, we also see God's willingness to wait and see what he will do in this parable. God's willingness to wait. So God decides to wait. And the first son repented. God is gracious in giving room for repentance. I think one of the most outstanding evidence for God's willingness to wait is found in the ministry of the prophet Enoch. We hear of Enoch. He walked with God. Enoch preached the coming judgment before the great flood. When Enoch was 65 years, he had a son to whom he gave a very odd Hebrew name. Methuselah, which in Hebrew means when he dies, it will come. When he dies, it will come. So ask yourself, what will come? When he dies, it will come. What will come? Well, the implication is that when Methuselah dies, the judgment Enoch was preaching will come. And beloved, if you run a timeline base on the numbers, on the genealogies of Genesis, we find that Methuselah died in the year of the flood. Methuselah's very long life is a testimony to God's willing to give room for repentance. In the parable of the first son said no, but he repented and went into the vineyard. Beloved Lord, a 30-year-old single mother called Janelle McMillan, was the last person to be rescued from the collapse of the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center. She was the last person. She had been trapped in the rubble for 27 hours. When at last firefighters heard her calling and pulled her out. She had only been employed as a port authority clerk for 9 months when the terrorists attacked the World Trade Center on September 11, 2001. By her own description, she was a staunch Catholic, but a notable sinner, a notable, well-known prostitute. well-known prostitute in Brooklyn. But when the North Tower collapsed, Janelle's thoughts immediately turned to the Lord and her 14-year-old daughter. She said she prayed that her body would at last be found so that it could be buried. But she revised her prayers. She realized that she was still alive. Surely she revised her prayer and asked the Lord that if she had to die, she could at least make it to the hospital so she could see her daughter for the last time. She realized that she was still alive. She was still breathing. And she revised her prayer again. She asked the Lord to rescue her life. And in her own words, she prays as follows, quote, God, please save my life. Give me a second chance. I promise I will change my life and do your will. Beloved in the Lord, Janelle kept her promise. Turned away from her sins and has deepened her walk with the Lord since. That's what we call true repentance. And currently, Janelle is one of the renowned evangelists in Brooklyn. Currently. Genuine repentance. Beloved Lord, talk. Talk is cheap. Very cheap. Deeds are what proves that one's intentions are true. How many times have we promised the Lord and have failed to honor our promise? Every New Year's Day, we make resolutions. Do we keep them? Where's our chibo? I'll pay my five. New Year's resolution. This year, I'll pay my five. I'll be faithful and pay my five. First month, second month, third month, we give up. Oh, this year, harvest, I'll go all out to thank the Lord. Bless so much. And yes, we bless so much. And the good Lord will be blessing us. And a minute I will tell God, you wait. It's not yet November 2nd. You wait. I have more time. But meanwhile, God has been blessing you. Beloved Lord, I'm using this parable to challenge all of us this morning. You might have said no. In time past, you might have said no. Purpose in your heart, I will not. It's not too late to say yes to God. It's not too late to say yes to the Lord. You know, in the epistle reading, Jesus said yes to God. Whom shall I send and who will go for me? He said yes. He came and died for us. And for that matter, God gave him a name which is above every name, that are the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow. Because he said yes to the Lord. Beloved Lord, maybe you are here, you've resolved in your heart that as for me, I will not contribute a farthing to support this alcohol. You might have said no. I'm begging you. I'm using this pulpit to preach the word of God to you. Change your mind and say yes. God wants to do something special in your life. Say yes to God. Maybe you propose in your heart that any fundraising at all in this church to support the ARC hall, no, you give what you can. Fine. I share your sentiments. But for God's sake, say no to that and say yes to God. Say yes to God. Because God wants to do something new in your life. Just by saying yes, he wants to just do something new in your life. You know, we... Uncle Atu is here. Before one is enrolled as a full chorister, you make some promises. You make some undertakings. Likewise, Vision 50 Plus, Men's Fellowship, Women's Fellowship. They don't just enroll you. No, a council member. You have to make some promises. But do we keep these promises? Oh, sister, no, for about 2-3 weeks, we've not seen you. Aqua practice. Oh, my neck, oh, my waist, oh. Only God knows if it is even true. Only God knows. No, the excuses, the promises. God wants us to say no. Just turn back. Make a right about 10. And say yes to God. Just say yes to God. Because God wants to do something special in our lives. You know, we appointee ministers. They come and sit down the committee, vetting committee. Oh, when I'm giving a nod. And they like that word. When I'm giving a nod, I'll do this. I'll do this. I'll do that. And when they are giving a nod, what do we see? Where's our cheap? Oh? Where's our cheap? Deeds are what proves that one's intentions are true. The Christian life is in performance. The Christian life is in performance, not empty talk, cheap talk. Beloved, Jesus said yes. Jesus said yes in the epistle reading, and God blessed him. God wants to bless you this morning. You are here, baby, you are here. No, you've proposed in your heart, that is what I'm coming to contribute this morning to support the youth harvest. I'm begging you, don't change your mind. Whatever you've proposed in your heart to give, don't change your mind. On the other hand, if he wants to give more, don't change your mind. Go ahead. God wants to do something special in your life. God is speaking to us this morning. And if you read James chapter 2, the book of James, James general epistle chapter 2, verses 4 to 17, 21, 25, and 26, it says, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith, but has no deeds, can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but that's nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? In that same way, was not even Rahab, the prostitute, considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without a spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. It is my prayer. It is my prayer that good Lord will help us. That good Lord will help us this morning to be like all those reluctant prophets of Israel and the first son, for that matter, in this parable, who laid aside their fears, their excuses, their aversion of God's call, and instead regretted their reluctance and took up the work of God. May God help us to take up the work that he has entrusted us with. May God help us. Help us in the power of his Holy Spirit. Open avenues upon avenues for us in this life to always say yes to him. Because by saying yes to him, he will give us a name which is above every name. Amen.